and ready to get your heart going again.
Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. We are the health of the earth, called to let the people see the love of God in you and me. We are the light of the world, not to be hidden but be seen. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. You're the hands of Christ reaching out to those in need. The face of God for all to see. We are the spirit of hope, we are the voice of peace. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. So let your love shine on, let it shine for all to see. Go make a difference in the world. And the Spirit of Christ will be with us as we go. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference, we can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference in the world.
Yay! All right, yeah. Okay. Whew, now we've got our hearts going. Let's slow it down a little bit. Let's give praise to our good, good Father.
Oh, I heard a thousand stories of what they
perfect in all of your ways. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Praise God for the praise team. Amen. This morning, they take us to the Lord's presence as we praise Him and worship Him today. Amen. And there's so much to be thankful for this morning. Wouldn't you be agree? I mean, we're alive and we're in church this morning, and we have the freedom in Christ and the freedom in this nation that we still enjoy, that we should be so thankful for and grateful, and that should compel us to continue to pray for our nation and our leaders, amen. And so let's continue to do that, amen. So I'm also thankful this morning for what Tony mentioned just a couple of moments ago, that it was on the 13th of January back in 2008 that the Lord gave us the privilege to be ordained into the ministry, and He's been good all these years, amen. And it's the best thing, that's one of the best things, I would say, after salvation, of course, that's happened in my life, and I'm really thankful for that this morning. And I'm also thankful, church, this morning for my son turning 5 yesterday. It's been really quite an exciting adventure these past 5 years for Lillian and me. And yesterday, he's sporting a new watch, by the way, today. Probably saw him with it today. And it's a real watch, by the way, but it's like a kitty watch. And he's learning how to read and tell time. And yesterday, we were getting ready to go to church, to the Spanish service, that is. And my wife asked him what time it was, and he said, "Well, Mommy, it's 6:10 and 4. What? 6:10 and 4? What are you talking about? 6:10 and 4. And when she looked into his watch, it was 6:14. So he was trying to do the math, 10 plus 4, 14. Okay, 10 and 4. But he's getting there, amen? So... I want to praise God for that this morning, amen. You know, the things that kids do and say really make you laugh and bring joy into your life, into our lives, amen. No wonder Jesus said that the kingdom of God belongs to children, to little children. And that in order to go into the kingdom of God, we must become like them, amen. We must become believers and innocent in that sense. So we're really, really glad for that. So this morning, church, continue to pray for Pastor Bruce and Miss Debbie, and keep all those that are battling COVID or the flu or a cold as we speak. Pray that God will bring healing to their lives, amen, and that God will glorify Himself in their lives. And keep praying for all the prayer requests that we presented today. Those who don't know Jesus, let's pray that they will have an encounter with the living God, just like it happened with Saul. We talked about that last week, how Jesus encountered Saul on his way to Damascus. And, you know, a lot of the times we say, you know, the day that I found Jesus or the day that I found God. And that's fine. It's good, you know. But in reality, it's God who found us. It's Jesus who found us. Amen. It's Him who found us one day and saved us. I don't remember, and I say this all the time, I don't remember waking up one day and saying, hey, you know what? I want to go to church, and I want to become a Christian. And if I did, that is because God was already dealing with my heart, dealing with me, amen, just like He dealt with each and every one of us, amen. So God found us one day, and we're so glad that happened. So let's continue to pray for those that are not in the kingdom so that God will go out and find them. The Son will go out and find them in His mercy and bring them, amen, to salvation. So this morning, let's turn in our Bibles to the epistle or book of Acts, rather. Yeah, the book of Acts. Let's go to chapter 9, and we'll kind of continue where we left off last week. It's been really a blessing, this book of Acts, because it tells you about the story of the early church, the early Christians, and what they went through, what it was like. You know, it's really interesting to see all the stuff they had to go through and how God dealt with them and how God blessed them in each and every situation they faced. So it's a blessing to have this book as part of the Bible. And in Acts 9, verses 23 through 31, we'll be reading about what happened to Saul after he got saved and after he began to fellowship with the disciples. And last week we talked about that, how the Lord had saved them and how the transformation that took place in his life brought about some awesome results in him, you know. And then the disciples, and also what he did right away, how he started to preach the gospel, how he started to share about Jesus, how he, in verse 22, it says, began to proclaim that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. He was indeed who he really said, you know, back in the gospels, and when he appeared to him on the road to Damascus. So today in verses 23 through 31, Acts chapter 9, it says, after a while, some of the Jews plotted together to kill him. They were watching for him day and night at the city gate so they could murder him. But Saul was told about their plot. So during the night, some of the other believers lowered him in a large basket through an opening in the city wall. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe he had truly become a believer. Then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So Saul stayed with the apostles and went all around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. He debated with some Greek-speaking Jews, but they tried to murder him. When the believers heard about this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus, his hometown. The church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. And it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. So let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you this morning, Father, for the opportunity to bring your message. And Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to open our ears and open our hearts, Father, so that we may receive your word, Father. Help us, Father, to receive it in good soil, Father, and give us the understanding so we can understand your word, Father, and apply it in our lives, Father God. Thank you once again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So now, like I was saying just previously, last week we talked about how Saul persecuted the church. He was the persecutor. The church came under heavy persecution because of him and others who followed him. And we read about that a couple of months ago. As a matter of fact, God brought a message early in chapter 9, and it talks about how Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. And then we talked about how Saul had that encounter with God on the road to Damascus, and then he was taken into town where he was discipled, and he was prayed over, he was prayed for, and God did a tremendous miracle in his life. He changed him, transformed him completely, totally. He became a believer. He was baptized, the Bible says. And so right after that, in verse 22, it says that right away he began to proclaim that Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God. And that's exactly what happens, church, to the believer, to the person, to the woman, the man, the young person, even the child, because, you know, we've heard of children as young as maybe 6, 7, 8 years of age, and they come to the saving knowledge of Christ because they're so convicted by the Holy Spirit, and so they're conscious about what they do. That is why it is so important, and I always tell this to the church, it is so important that we instruct our children in the ways of the Lord, that we pray for them so that when they become and when they grow older, they will not depart from the way. So pray for our children. Pray for the kids' ministry here in the church. Pray for your kids, your grandkids, sons and daughters, so that God will do a tremendous work in their lives. And so the Bible says that he was proclaiming Jesus right away, and that's exactly what the believer does right away after he gets saved. He begins to share his faith. He begins to tell others about Christ. He begins to share his witness, his testimony. And we talked about that last week, about how powerful your testimony can be, church, when you share it with someone who needs a word from God. And trust me, church, everyone, not many, not some, but everyone needs to hear the gospel. Everyone needs to hear the word of God, regardless of nationality or race or age or gender. We all need Jesus. Amen. We all need Christ. And that's exactly what he was doing. And so right after that, in verse 23, it says that after a while, some of the Jews plotted together to kill him. He began to suffer persecution. The guy who was persecuting the church now found himself under persecution. Some of the Jews tried to kill him, it says. Why? Because the Jews found his message offensive. The message that Jesus, the one who had been crucified, was the King, King of Kings and the Son of God. Remember and keep this in mind, church, that the Jews back then, and many of them still do today, are waiting for a Messiah king, you know, a powerful Messiah, a warrior Messiah. And that's the impression they had, or the belief they had back then, that a Messiah would come and set them free from Roman oppression, you know, by using military might and military strength. And when they saw this weakling, you know, beat up and then taken to the cross and did nothing about that, and then his disciples run away and escape and flee for their lives, they said, you know what, this was not the guy we were waiting for. But now you have Saul talking about this same person who had been crucified, saying that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah that they had been waiting for, the Messiah, Jesus. And that's why they wanted to kill him also. because he was growing more and more powerful. There's another version that reads that he was getting stronger by the day. Why was he getting stronger? And you know, that word stronger and powerful, when we read that in that context, and you look up the original word or the original meaning of that word, means strong, right? But it comes from endunamu, which comes from dunamis. That's another fancy word in the Greek. But that word, you find it in Acts 1, verse 8, where Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." So that word power in verse 8 of chapter 1 in the same book of Acts, you find another word similar to that used here in this verse, meaning that Paul was getting power. He was getting power from somewhere. He was getting stronger. But where was he drawing that strength from? Where was that strength coming from, church? It was coming from the Holy Spirit himself, you know. It was coming from God, from Jesus. That promise that Jesus had given the church early in the book of Acts was taking place and was being fulfilled at that very moment, church. And you know what that says to us this morning, church? That the believer, you and I, receive power from the Holy Spirit when Jesus comes into our lives. We receive power to live holy lives. We receive power to become powerful witnesses for Christ. We become stronger and stronger each day as we profess Christ as our Lord and Savior. So each time you share your testimony, church, each time you tell someone about Jesus, each time you take the time to invite someone to church, each time that you take some time to pray for someone or that you offer to pray for someone, you're becoming stronger and stronger, not physically, you know, but spiritually, that is, on the inside. Paul went on to speak about that years later, where he says that the outer man, you know, the exterior, becomes ages and becomes older and older, but the interior person, the interior you, that person that's in you, becomes renewed and younger each day spiritually. Amen. So that's exactly what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. He empowers you. He empowers your testimony. He empowers your preaching. He empowers your witness. He empowers your daily life. He gives you the power to overcome sin, you know, whether it's right away or gradually. He empowers you to live a holy life. And that's exactly what was happening with Paul. And they could not stand that, church. The Jews could not stand that, because it says that they were baffled. One version reads, you know, they were astounded. Another version reads that they were confounded, you know. They were like, what's going on here? You know, we have all these knowledge, you know, it's 3, 4, 5, 10 against this single guy, and we can't do a thing against him. You know, what's going on here? They could not understand that. And so what did they do? They tried to kill him. You know, they plotted his murder. You know, that also tells us, church, that when you and I come to Christ, and when you and I become bolder and bolder in our faith, when you and I begin to grow stronger and stronger in our beliefs, church, and in our convictions, and you begin to develop a prayer life, and you begin to develop a study of the Word, you begin to study the Word more and more, you begin to know God, and then you start to come to church more and more, then you become stronger and stronger. And when that happens, there's someone who's going to wage war against you, and that someone is the devil himself. The devil himself will wage war on the believer when he and she decides to follow Jesus. Amen. We all sung about that in the past, and we've sang about that here recently. When we sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, No turning back. Y'all remember that? No turning back. No turning back. And when we decide to do that, then the devil wages wars on us. Why is that, church? Because his kingdom feels threatened. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, in fact, Paul goes on to write this to the church in Ephesus. He says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." But you might say, well, Pastor, you know, Brother Pedro, but, you know, I'm just a believer, you know, I'm not out there preaching, I'm not out there witnessing. You know, I'm not out there singing praises to the Lord in public. You know, why is the devil going to do that to me if I'm not waging a war against him? He's still going to do that. You know why? Because every time we come to church, every time you come to a Bible study, every time you get together with someone at your house or at your workplace and pray about something or read the word together, guess what? You're waging war against the enemy. Every time you pass out a tract, every time you invite someone to church, you're waging war against the enemy. So, you know, there is no, and I'm going to use this term. I'm going to use this term as most of you know. Well, I was born in Nicaragua, but I was raised in Louisiana. And I lived many years in New Orleans, you know, hence my funny, interesting accent, you know. I lived many years in New Orleans, and there's a term in New Orleans for the median. When you're driving down the street, when you're driving, you know, down a boulevard or a road, you see those medians in the middle of the street. They're called neutral grounds in New Orleans. And the idea behind the term neutral ground is that there's nothing there, just grass, no pavement, no structures, no buildings, because it's neutral ground. So if you're crossing the street, you know, from one side or the other, and then you're standing on the neutral ground, you're okay, you know, because you're not going to get run over. You know, that's the neutral ground. And so supposedly you're safe, you know, with cars going in one direction and the other cars going in the opposite direction. But church, in the Christian life, in this world, there is no neutral ground. There's no standing in the middle on the median saying, you know what, you know, I'm okay with Jesus. I praise Jesus, you know, but that's all I do. No, there's no such thing as neutral ground. And Jesus said it himself. He says, you're either for me or you're against me. So which side are we going to choose? I'm going to choose the good side. I'm going to choose Jesus, you know. And if I choose Jesus, I choose life, amen. If I choose to follow Jesus, then guess what? The devil is going to wage war against me and my family. The devil is going to wage war against the church, amen. But continuing with this story, it says in verses 24 to 25 that when that happened, that when the Jews were plotting to kill him, it says that they were watching him day and night so they could murder him. But Saul was told about their plot. So during the night, some of the believers lowered him in a large basket through an opening in the city wall. So what happened is that Saul found out about the plot, that they wanted to murder him. And the disciples helped him escape. The disciples help him flee the city. Otherwise, he would have been dead. And, you know, and it would have said here, and we would not have any of the letters that he wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it says that he escaped through an opening in the city wall. Amen. But what that says to us this morning, church, or rather what that reminds us is what David wrote in Psalms 46, verse 1, the psalmist. It says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Isn't it awesome, Lord, church, that God is always ready to help you. God is always ready to sustain us. God is always ready to reach out to us with his powerful and mighty hand when we need him. It's awesome to know that God helps us when the enemy comes against us. He will fight our battles, church. We are not alone in this world. When we feel in despair, when we feel hopeless, and trust me, we are going to feel like that sometimes, amen. We're going to feel hopeless, like we don't want to go on anymore. You know, some folks feel like they don't want to live anymore, and unfortunately, you know, they take their own lives, and that happens, you know, unfortunately. But the Bible says that God is there to offer refuge, and there's that word again, church, strength. God will help us find. He will help you find an opening in the wall, church, amen. An opening, a way to escape. You know, sometimes you feel like you're going to hit a wall, and that's going to happen. You're going to hit a wall, and like your prayers are not going through the ceiling, you know, up to heaven. But God eventually will open a wall. He will open a way out. I heard someone say one time that God makes a way out of no way. How does he do that? He's an expert in doing that, church. He is an expert at doing things like that. He will help us. He will help you. Dear brother and sister, whatever the situation you're going through or that you're fixing to go through, because everything might be okay at this moment. And praise God for that. You know, everything is fine. Finances are fine. You know, you're in good health. Praise the Lord for that. You know, your kids are all safe, you know, you have a good job, praise the Lord for that, you know, and keep praying for blessings to be poured out on your life, but eventually something is going to happen, and you and I will not know where to turn to, but guess what, church, the Bible says that God is our refuge and our strength, and he's always ready to help us in times of trouble. He will help us find an opening in the wall, and that's what happened with Saul. It says that the gates were guarded. He didn't know where to go until the disciples were led by the Holy Spirit to that opening in the wall, and he was able to escape. It's beautiful to see that, how those brothers and sisters were now identifying themselves with the ex-persecutor. You know, he had been a persecutor at one time, but now he was a believer. He was part of them. He was they were helping his brother in a time of trial and trouble. You know, that tells us, church, that we help each other in times of trouble. That's why it's so important to come to church, you know, and I have to stress that. And I don't stress it enough, you know, that it's so important to come to church. If you can, come to church as much as you can, because you find comfort, you find fellowship, and you find encouragement with each other in Christ Jesus. We're all like-minded here in this place, amen. We all have one goal, to be together in the kingdom of God, amen, one day. And I think that's going to be soon, very soon, much sooner than expected, amen. Praise God for that. He's in control, amen. So God will help us also to help our brother find an opening in the wall. You know, I think about the story of Daniel. Daniel back in Daniel chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. The king back then had passed a law that he was going to kill all the wise men of his kingdom, that he was going to get rid of them all because of a dream that he had had. But the Bible says in verses 17 and 18 of Daniel chapter 2 that Daniel went home and told his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah what had happened. And he urged them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret, so they would not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon. So it's an awesome thing to be able to rely on each other for prayer and support in times of needs. Amen. So God will also help us together to fight our enemies together. The Bible says then in verses 26 through 31 that Saul flees to Jerusalem. He goes there. But when he gets there, the Bible says that the believers were afraid of him because they knew who he had been. And maybe some of them thought, hey, here's this guy who was killing our brothers and sisters. He was dragging them out of their church houses and taking them to the Jewish authorities to be tried and condemned and sentenced to death. And now he's here. So they were afraid of him. It's understandable. They knew who had been and what he had done. And maybe some of his victims were there, present there. You know, we can speculate about that, but I'm pretty sure that was the case. In fact, the Bible says in Acts 8, verse 3, but Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He had been a destroyer. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. Until, the Bible says in verse 27, that Barnabas spoke for him. Yes, sir. Amen.
Some of you probably heard on your phones, we got a tornado alert for this area until 12:15. So there are storms coming in right now. They're warning us to take shelter at this time. So it's still 12:15. I'm just telling you your decision. If you feel like you would like to leave now to go home, to find a safe place, you're welcome to do so. If you want to stay here and take shelter should something happen, you're welcome to do that also, okay?
Amen, amen. He's our refuge and our strength, amen. So let's continue to pray, amen. So you're more than welcome to do as you feel you need to do, amen, as you feel led to do, amen. But let's continue. Thank you, sister, amen. But it says that... Amen, amen. Praise God, amen, amen. So Barnabas spoke for him. You know, Barnabas, another disciple, another one of the believers, spoke up for him and confirmed his testimony. What is that saying to us, church? That others will confirm and affirm whether we're believers or not. You know, I wonder what others would say about our testimony at work or at school. You know, if I was about, you know, say that I was, that someone was about to show up at your workplace, or at school, you know, and ask references from you, what would they say? Yes, he's a believer. Oh, yeah, he's a Christian. Or maybe he's not, you know. But others confirm whether we're believers or not. But then when Saul found himself in that situation in verses 28 to 29, the Bible says that Saul demonstrated who he really was, you know. He says that he stayed with them and spent time with them. And he also went around announcing the gospel. There's another version that says that he was preaching boldly. He spoke with no fear about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one Spanish version reads. He says he spoke without fear. He was fearless when it came to his testimony about Christ. You know, he wasn't fearing the Jews any longer. He wasn't fearing people anymore. You know, he was respecter, of course, you know, respectfully. Just like you and I ought to be respectful of all, but fear none. Because the only one you and I need to fear is God himself. Yes, we respect and love each other in this place. In fact, Jesus calls us to love our enemies, those who try to harm us, those who try to do harm to us, church. We ought to pray for them and lift them up before the holy throne of God, amen, but not fear. I know it's not an easy thing to do. It's easier to say, than to do. But remember, he's the one who gives you power. He's the one who strengthens you. He's the one who gives you that supernatural strength from the Holy Spirit, church. And because of that fearlessness that Paul had, or Saul rather in this context, he preached and debated with Jews that had Greek ancestry. The NLT reads, the Greek-speaking Jews. He debated with them, and they couldn't resist them. They couldn't stand what he had to say, again, because the believers, when they saw him do exactly the same thing he was doing in Damascus, they knew that he was the real deal through his actions, with his actions. God is saying to us, church, that we must let our actions speak for us. Amen. You all have heard that saying that says, actions speak louder than words. Amen. And we must let our actions, when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to living the gospel, we must let our actions speak for us. The world should be able to tell. The world should be able to know whether we're Christians or not by what we do, by the way we talk, by the way we speak. Remember Peter, when Jesus Christ had been betrayed and he said, I'm going to deny him. Jesus said, you will deny me three times. And when that moment came and Peter was denying Jesus, you know, one of the folks there, a lady or a man said, hey, you know what? Even the way you speak denounces you, because you speak like him. You talk like Jesus, and we should be that way. We are that way. We talk like the Lord. We speak like Jesus. We speak his words. Let's share the gospel, church. Let's share the gospel in this community, but also live it. Amen. Let's live the gospel. The Bible says in verse 31, church, that after that happened, the church was blessed because he was sent back to Jerusalem. They tried to kill him, but they couldn't do that. God was with him. And as a result, in verse 31, we read about how the church was blessed. Because when we overcome a trial, not because, you know, we are who we are, you know. No, we're nothing without Jesus. But when we overcome a trial in Jesus' name and in his power and strength, then we are truly blessed. We are blessed when we overcome a trial. The church had peace in and after the storm or persecution. The church was able to have peace, the Bible says. And also the church was edified after this earthquake or destructor called Saul was saved. The church was lifted up and edified. The church was built up, and the church grew stronger and flourished in the desert during the times of oppression. You know, a pastor once said that God was able to change this great threat into a great blessing. What is the great threat that you are facing at this very moment? What is the great threat that the church faces at this very moment? Whatever it is, God can change that into a great blessing, because nothing can come our way without God's permission. Amen. Even the devil himself cannot wage war against you without God's permission. It's not like, you know, we go to God and tell him, God, this is what's going on in my life. You know, it could be the devil, could be whatever it is, you know. And God is not going to say, hey, you know what, I'm sorry, I didn't know. This devil, he's so conniving and cunning, you know, didn't know he was going to do that. No, God, it doesn't work like that, church. God is not like that. God knows everything. He knows the past. He knows exactly what's going on at the present moment, and he knows the future too, amen. He knows it all. Praise God for that. So after the storm comes the calm. Matthew Henry wrote, after the storm comes a calm. So likewise, church, this story of Saul teaches us that we can have peace in the storm. Jesus said it in John 14:27. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So what you and I enjoy this morning, church, peace of mind. Whatever it's going on out there, he's in control. Peace of mind, amen. And we have the power of prayer. We can intercede and pray, and God's mighty hand move in whatever situation, whatever chaos, whatever confusion the world is in right now, whatever it's going on, you know, in our families, whatever it's going on in our communities, God is in control, and you and I have the peace to rely on that truth. Amen. Not peace of mind, but also peace of heart. Because Jesus is the one who gives us the peace. And then he goes on to say, don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled or afraid. So we can have peace in a world full of chaos and confusion. We can be edified during the earthquakes of life. Whatever comes our way, you know, and shakes our foundations, you know, it can shake it all at once, but keep this in mind, that our true foundation is Jesus himself, the rock of ages. That's why the psalmist wrote that, you know, that he is our God and our strength, and that we ought to praise him even though the waves of the seas roar and the mountains go into the sea and the oceans. We still must praise him when everything seems to crumble around us. And isn't that the case these days, church? That thing seems to be crumbling around us as we speak, you know? We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but Jesus does. He is in control. And you know what? We can also flourish in the desert. When you and I find by ourselves, you know, or if people ever forsake us, or our family members forsake us for the sake of the gospel. And you know what? I've known people who have been forsaken and abandoned for receiving Christ in their hearts. I have a good friend of mine. He lives in Nicaragua. He came from a very wealthy family in Nicaragua. And when he gave his life to Christ, man, I mean, everything crumbled around him to the point that his father disowned him for becoming a Christian. You know, and he was forsaken just like that. But guess what? Praise God that he persevered. He persevered, and it's been 30-something years since he gave his life to Christ as a teenager. He's now in his early 50s, you know. But it's still happening, church, as we speak, you know. People being forsaken, you know, disowned, children being disowned and abandoned by their parents for the simple fact because they gave their life to Christ, you know. But when that happens, when people like them, brothers and sisters like them, find themselves in a desert, you know, in an emotional desert, in a spiritual desert, in any type of desert, church, we can flourish. They can flourish. Because the church, when it found herself under persecution, it flourished. And we read about that in the book of Acts. And finally, church, you know, one thing we can learn about what Saul went through and about what the church was going through at the time is that we become stronger in the Lord. When you overcome a trial, you know, when you come out victorious of a trial, whatever it is, and trust me, you're not going to be in a trial forever, whatever it is. You're not going to be spending your whole life in that single trial. God will give you the victory. And when that happens, church, when you come out of a trial, when you come out of a tribulation, you come out stronger than when you were before the trial. You become more mature in the faith. You grow spiritually, and you're able to bless others. You're able to comfort others. Your testimony grows. Your preaching becomes bolder and stronger, amen? And your testimony, your witness, you know, when you tell others about Christ, then becomes more and more effective because we become stronger in the Lord. So let's keep that in mind this morning, church, as we stand and we pray and we give thanks to God this morning. Amen. asking him to help us, asking him to lead us, asking him to help us endure whatever comes our way, asking him to help us become better Christians, better versions of ourselves, amen. Not better than my brother, better than my sister. No, it doesn't work like that, amen. It's got to be better than you, you, better than me, me, amen. Praise God. And so that we can become effective witnesses in this community, at the workplace, at school, at the store, wherever you go. People are watching us, remember. Yeah, it's true. The enemy is watching us too, watching every move we make. But it's okay. God is in control. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you this beautiful morning, God, because the Bible says that this is the day that the Lord has made. And therefore, we will rejoice in it. We will be glad in it, Lord God. And we are so thankful for this day, Lord God, January 16th, 2022. Whatever is going on out there, Lord, in the world, you are in control. And we thank you for that, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you honor. And Father God, we want to pray, Father, for protection. We want to pray, Lord God, that you continue to watch over us, Lord God. We're trusting you, Father. We know we are in your hands. This church is in your hands. Our pastor and his family are in your hands, Lord God. And we want to place our families in your hands, Lord Father. We want to place any situation that we're facing at this very moment in your hands, Father God. We want to bring, Lord, any tribulation, any questions that we might have, Lord God, anything, Lord, that's bothering us at this very moment, we want to surrender that at your feet in Jesus' name, because you are a mighty God, and just like you were with Saul, you have promised to be with us all the days, Father, until the end. That's what Jesus said himself, and thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding us of his words, Father. Father, we also pray for anyone this morning who has not accepted or received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. We pray for that person this morning, whether he's here, whether she's here, whether he or she is going to be listening to this audio message online, Father God. We pray for that person that, Father, you find that person wherever he or she is. Find her in that situation. Find her, Lord, wherever she is at this moment, and save her in Jesus' mighty name. We also pray for that little boy, Landon, God. We pray for a miracle, Father God. We pray that your mighty hand will be upon him, Lord, Father. And we pray for healing, Lord. We pray for a miracle that will amaze his family and his relatives and his parents, Father. And if they don't know Jesus, Father, that through this miracle, they will come to the saving faith in Christ. We pray, Father, for Suzanne, for Gabriela, for the other lady that Miss Evelyn asked prayer for, God. We also pray for any other petitions this morning that were shared, Lord God. We bring them before your throne because you're a mighty and a holy God who's willing to answer in your will, Father. Thank you once again. In Jesus' name, amen.